Racing Club Keller.
Ja.
Gibt es das. Super. Gut, von mir gibt es keine Autogrammkarten heute, die will aber auch keiner haben. Und jetzt übergeben wir an. An was übergeben wir eigentlich jetzt hier? Die krasse Machtdose. Ja? Zieh uns mal runter, bitte.
Jawohl.
Es wird alles jetzt nur noch peinlich hier.
Und Westhofener Kreuz.
Thank you.
Ja, Jungle Symphony, Alive in Music. Hier ist Felicia Herrschaft heute mit Künstlern aus Kanada und auch mit Künstlern aus Afghanistan. Und zwar spiele ich Auszüge von Interviews, die wir hier in Frankfurt mit Rachrau Umassad geführt haben, aber auch ein Interview aus Afghanistan. Rachrau Umassad, Rachrau bedeutet auf dem Weg sein, einen Weg eingeschlagen zu haben, schon ein Ziel zu haben, unterwegs zu sein. Und heute Abend hält er im Kunstverein in Frankfurt darüber einen Vortrag um 19 Uhr. Und dieses unterwegs zu sein, das thematisieren wir jetzt weiter mit einem zweiten Stück, und zwar Salam. Ja, unterwegs sind gerade noch Michael Eddy und mit ihm werde ich jetzt gleich auch sprechen und mit Amy, die das Video Kaffee macht. Hey, they are here. They arrived. They were on the way, but now they came. So I was talking about way, being on the way. So now you are here. You can join. I play something which is called Salam, but now I play some interview excerpts from Rachrau Umassad from Afghanistan. 1 second. And about what we will talk today is about something like what is reality in art, or what is art, or how could we describe what and how to work with art.
Question about how artists recognize their reality, or what kind of reality it is.
You can see this one. For example, we have some example for this exchanging of cultural exchanging, and also we have some example from some artists here that they are working like mix, something from outside, something from inside. Yeah, but it is good to have your own way, your own idea, your own creative. When, for example, when I went to Germany, yeah, 3 times I was there, and I knew a lot of things there about art. Before, I were thinking that an artist, a painter, when he or she had an idea, he or she should work with brush or pencil, should explain it with these things. But now I know for expressing your feeling, you have different materials, you have different way to express your feeling. And now, when we have some idea, we can explain it with installation, with performance, with painting, with different things. As we can show you some of our installation and also video performance which we did. Mm-hmm. We will go to the next room, we can show you. The idea is from us. The technique we learned from Germany, yeah? And the information we get from there. And we know more about art there. When I came back in Afghanistan, our own idea, our own things, and from our own society, we explain it through that technique, through that material, something like that. And regarding to your question, that our young generation, they have a lot of things in their heart to say. And the young generation, especially during this 20 years or 10 years, they face it with a lot of things that they have it in their heart, in their mind. But they don't know how to explain it. They are thinking that first they should be a very good artist to have a very good hand, then they can express their idea. That's why they are waiting to study the Faculty of Fine Arts, then to work to be very master for copying or for painting, mm-hmm. for drawing, something like this. After that, they can explain their idea. Now they are thinking that they are not able to express their idea or to express their feeling or to be an individual artist. They have to copy in this process, something like this.
Do you think that this is the better way? Or?
Regarding to the system of teaching, they have this idea that in these 4 years they should only learn, mm-hmm. and they should try to have a good hand to work, yeah. better.
Are you doing something else with them?
Yeah.
Are you going out with them on the streets and make projects with them outside the faculty?
Yeah. When I was in Peshawar, yeah, in Pakistan also, I was teaching at the Institute of Fine Arts. And Peshawar also, I studied a little more. Especially when I went to Germany, when I went to Norway, to Holland, I knew more about art and fine arts and how to teach something like this. Now, I'm very careful with I'm working with the students. I prefer to give them the chance to do with their own style, to improve their own style, to have an open atmosphere, to have the chance to express themselves. Besides that, we are working for conceptual art also sometimes, for example, during the winter, 3 months of winter.
We play now some parts of the interview with Rachrau Omerset, where he is explaining how he's working in the center. He's explaining this for Udo Kittelmann in the MMK. And Michael and Emil, they arrived, and I think then we will go on and talk about how they work. Is it okay? Do you want to say hello now, please?
Oh, hi. Hello. But I can't hear my voice, but I guess it's okay.
You can have some headphones.
Okay.
So there.
By the name of Center for Contemporary Art Afghanistan, yeah? Mm-hmm. In this center, at the moment, we have one section for female artists. They are working for 1 year. After 1 year, they are ready to do an exhibition. Yeah?
And also from the other side, we are doing some workshop, seminar, and some video performance, video installation, something like this. In the future, we want to have the contemporary art gallery in Kabul. The female artist has the idea to have a gallery, especially for female artists. And also, we have a mobile cinema to show the films about the artists and to introduce galleries, museums in different art centers, not in Kabul and outside of Kabul also. We want to move from one place to another place. The idea to meet you and this gallery, from one side to have a film about the exhibition of this museum to show it in Kabul, in different art centers. From the other side, to get the idea and information, how did you start it and how you did develop it. We want to use your experience for the future of our activities.
You mean how I personally started, or how I did start with
the
that
museum?
With that museum.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I take in consideration what you just told me, I think, well, it anyway makes a big difference if you're having just an art gallery, so a more contemporary art space for exhibitions, or if you have a museum. With a museum, you're focused mainly on two things. So first, and I think this is the real priority, is just to build up a collection on artworks. So I think this is the major thing on a museum, which makes a big difference to other kind of art institutions like we're having in Germany, the Kunstvereins or the Kunsthalls. So that is the difference between an exhibition space and a museum. And when we are doing, for example, exhibitions, we always try to have a close relationship with the exhibition to the collection. Or another example would be if we make a decision on an artist's work which is so far not part of the collection, we take this special exhibition as a possibility to collect works from that artist we are presenting at that time. As far as I understand your situation, I think the most important thing is really just to start first with an exhibition space. And you mentioned that it is a small art center. And be very happy that it is small. Yes, as bigger you get, as more complicated, and as more the difficulties are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you need more and more people to work, more and more money you have to raise. So, and to keep spontaneous ideas, to be creative, be happy if you start very small and try to keep it as small as you can for a long time. Yeah. And it's not, nothing is about the size.
Yeah.
It's always about the space in your mind. I think this is the most important thing. That can grow and grow.
But how do you organize it now? You are four people, we read now in an interview, who are discussing what you will do, how do you select maybe works, or what is your focus on art now? This would be probably interesting.
So first of all, we are quite small group of people who manage the whole museum. In comparison with other museums of that size, we are working with very, very few people. And when I started with that museum, first of all, I had to think about what does it mean to run a museum? What makes a difference, what I mentioned before, to other institutions? And let's say what I'm very much influenced by is that I always ask, I want to question the institution, to be very self-critic about the institution that I'm running, that I'm responsible for. And when we're doing our exhibitions, besides that we are collecting, is always to ask, what does it mean, contemporary art? What is the focus of what artists are nowadays interested in? How you can change the idea by what kind of presentation of a museum? And this museum is subtitled Museum of Modern Art, but in fact it's a museum of contemporary art. And so we are quite experimental. And
what do you think? What will make the difference between modern and contemporary art?
Oh yeah, I can tell you.
Sometimes it looks the same.
Yeah, modern. And I don't know how it is in your culture, the understanding of modern, in the connection of, in Germany, for example, and modern and art means more the 20th century, the whole 20th century. But we are very much focused on art after 1960. And my expression for that is, everything what is not older than myself is contemporary. Yeah? So there's no work in the collection that is older than I am.
How old are you?
So I was born 58. So, and there's none, I think, there's not any important work which is older. But this is my very personal idea about what is contemporary. I feel very contemporary, yes? Yeah. So, and of course, once for the next guy who will take over the museum, probably it doesn't work, this expression, yeah? Because he's much younger and the works get older since the director's age is, yeah? So it's only for that time I'm here.
So it's working.
Yeah. So, for example, we are sometimes also doing exhibitions that go back to the 40s or the 30s or the 20s. Yeah, and but I think those positions that we are then exhibiting are of a very powerful contemporary interest. Yeah, so it's more about what is related to our time. When we are just as we have now this exhibition Humanism in China, which is not an art exhibition at all, then for my understanding of this institution, that we have to deal with contemporary discourses on what's happening in the world. I'm not interested in if it's art or not art.
And when you are doing the exhibition of some artist, the artist should pay for some percentage or
what?
When they are selling their paintings, yeah?
No, we are not selling anything.
It's they are buying. You are buying.
Yeah. We don't sell anything.
Collect,
for example, this Chinese artist, he has a Japanese or Chinese?
Chinese.
He has the exhibition, yeah?
It's a documentary.
Your present exhibition.
This is a group show. It is curated by three Chinese people. And it's on 600 documentary photographs. By 200. Yeah. I think you have to see the museum.
Yeah.
Then you will get a very different idea.
Yeah.
So we are not selling anything. We are collecting.
No, when the artist can sell his artwork here by the exhibition?
No.
No.
I can't take care of that. Sometimes we take works in. So when we're doing a solo show on artists, of course, some works are on loan by private collectors, by galleries, and maybe the gallery finally sell it to somebody, but not we. We never.
Yeah.
Never.
In Kabul, we have a small place for the exhibition of artworks, yeah?
Yeah.
And they, when the artist sell his painting for somebody, yeah? They are asking 40%.
Yeah, but this is a gallery.
No, this is a gallery. Yeah.
This is a commercial kind of a gallery.
Yeah.
So, and the institutions I'm talking about, so Kunstvereine, Kunsthal and museums, don't sell works.
Yeah, I think this is important because they don't have in Afghanistan this public system of public spaces which are funded by the public administrations. Mm-hmm. And so this is something which could be very interesting mm-hmm. to explain.
It's even the other way around, that we spend a lot of money to make new works by artists possible. So we pay the artists that they can create new works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So we are...
What's the problem of your job doing here?
My problem?
The problem of this museum you have faced it for?
There's only one problem I'm having in this moment. I need more people to work with us. But by Frankfurt law, it's forbidden to hire new people.
So you have a register, also eine restriktive Vorgabe? Also wie viel?
No, it's Frankfurt has a Stellenstopp. That means as soon as somebody leaves, we are not allowed to hire a new person to do his work. So we're getting less and less and less and less and less people. Oh. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And this is a major problem that we are in.
And freelancers?
Yes. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Michael and Amy. So what do you think? What do you, is the situation now for contemporary art? How are you working as contemporary artists?
It's an impossible question.
Okay, you heard now. It's possible that a director in a museum gives you money for work, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Easier than getting a job in a museum.
Could be.
Could be.
But it could be more difficult, maybe.
Yeah. So probably you should describe how you are working, if you are working as artist, or what do you understand, what is the role now? Or is there any more a role of art or artists for artists? What has changed that a Museum for Modern Art can show now 600 pictures, images from China, curated by Chinese curators, in a Museum for Modern Art as probably not as art, but presented as something which could be interesting for the audience?
Well, it's always nice to be struck with that question, and maybe he shouldn't, maybe Udo shouldn't so quickly confirm that it isn't art, and it might be nice to be challenged in that way by claiming that they are art once they're in the museum. But I don't know, maybe he had some kind of other external bodies organizing it that and he didn't have the largest control to, so then he has not transformed it into art himself by a curatorial move. But I think it would still interesting to think of those documents as potential art pieces, especially considering their last show of the web, what was it called?
Spinnweb.
Spinnweb.
Zeit.
Because in that case, he was very consciously provoking that question with all the, yeah.
Yeah. but as I understood, as you work as an artist, you have works where you are debating.
Mm-hmm.
So what is why is it possible, or what has this to do with this way of being open, maybe for different structures?
Mm-hmm.
That it's possible to say, okay, I'm debating.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it does relate very much to a recent past that has allowed it to be thought of as art, I guess, if we want to make a big claim. But it is open in that it welcomes participation, but it also relies on some very conventional categories from other fields, other things like law and politics, political imagery, I guess. So in that way, it's not a completely new idea.
Mm. And how do you arrange these situations for debating?
They're usually arranged around a kind of object change, so that we can decide something and change something in a space through a debate. And the debaters have something at stake, rather than the way I approached it at first was with high school debaters and debate clubs who practice kind of very large topics. They practice debating about national questions and what you might hear a regular politician talking about. So I was trying to have them make changes in a space that they could see happening right away. And mm-hmm. and that's how it works, really. It could be the installation of a room or a performance that could change the way I look, for example.
Mm. And you both you met in Halifax?
Mm-hmm. That's yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you come to Halifax, Amy?
I was just a student at the college in Japan, and I was studying English, and that school has a sister school or like an exchange program to the university in Nova Scotia, and I wanted to study English first, so I decided to move to Canada. Mm-hmm. And that's East Coast, not like West Coast, where there are lots of Japanese people, so I thought it would be nice for me to study English over there.
Mm.
That's how I moved to Halifax.
Yeah.
And when I was in the university, I didn't go to NASCAD, which is an art school. I enrolled in the St. Mary's University, which has an anthropology program. And I studied cultural anthropology.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you both did radio in Halifax. So
yeah, I
maybe
did.
Yeah. How was, what kind of, do they have an art radio?
It was like this radio show I was in, or the, I guess Michael was also in, that was connected to Dalhousie University. And in North America, almost all the like major university has a college radio program, mm. or the college radio, which has a community FM, and they are not like they are all volunteer run radio stations, so that anyone can approach and anyone can have a show if they have a make a promotion, and yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's really open and community oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they finance themselves, like they make fundraising festival and they make money, and it's really close to the community, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and you are still not studying art.
Still not.
Still not.
Not officially, no.
No. But somehow you have projects with artists, or you're running here this, or organizing with others together this video cafe.
Yeah.
So what could we understand about this?
But I understand what's
yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah.
Hmm. I actually don't really know, but this. I wasn't really conscious about this is my artwork, because I'm just putting things together.
Mm.
One thing is just like I always think about I really like cooking, so I wanted to make a cafe all the time.
Right.
And I just thought maybe it's a good idea to do the video screening in Frankfurt, because just going to state of school, like just hanging around. I'm just hanging around there, but this school has a different feeling from Nova Scotia, which is a NASCAD art school. They are more community oriented or like somehow related to the city or their culture. Maybe Stato also has connection to Frankfurt, but I found it's I don't know. I found it's.
It's a little bit not detached, but floating in some ways. People come and go, and there's always.
You mean at the Stadel School?
Yeah. And big projects happening or trips to other places, and somehow it connects more to the Frankfurt that is an airport in a way.
Is that something that Daniel Birnbaum was told by Kaspar König? And Kaspar König, he was
That's right.
in Halifax.
That's right, too. Yeah. So in a way, it's I didn't know about the school when I was in Halifax, but it seems like it's a small world in some ways.
Hmm. So it it could be that you feel like being like in Halifax in the 60s, it was a very famous place for artists to be there.
That's right.
A lot of people who were in the end of the 60s in Halifax because of Vietnam and because of end of the 50s because of McCarthy, they all migrated to Halifax, and
Buddhist.
Most of them are now very famous artists like Dan Graham and so on, or creators like.
But that was also because of this school. The reason why they came there, because their Dan Graham, I guess, showed up because they had video editing technology that they didn't have in other places. So at the time, it was a well-supported school, and now it's in Canada, school is so unsupported, and tuition is so high. And it kind of creates a stagnance. You can get a degree there that you cannot get at the Städelschule, but there's something still. I don't know. So I don't know if it's just money, but there's something that is a little more bubbly.
And now in Stadel School, they have not so many possibilities in new technologies, I think, or?
Well, the,
what would you say? Is it very good for which kind of production? Is it very good in Stadel School?
It's not for technical understanding, or it's not a place where you go to master a medium in a technical way, I don't think. That creates challenges that are interesting, and maybe it keeps things simple, which is nice too. But for example, in this space where Emmy is putting together the video cafe, it's very humble, and it's a small space and using borrowed equipment and things, but I think it will be really nice when it all comes together and it will have a certain feeling.
Mm-hmm. This is in the Stolze Straße.
Yeah.
Number 11,
yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting area. It's far away from red light district, but they also have like kind of that area, that feeling, or the and drinking culture happening their own way or something.
Yeah. So what will you cook in your first cafe?
The cooking also involved this video cafe project involved like so many people actually, and there are video artists and also the artists from Stato who can cook. And I'm cooking maybe sushi tomorrow, and this Carolina. She's from Argentina, and she's making
empanadas.
Yeah, empanadas. And Jacob, he likes fish, so he's making something like
fish cakes.
Fish cakes. Yeah. And Hannah is making cake. Yeah. And Sunday at is making green curry.
Green curry.
Wow. He's from Thailand, and yeah, and we cook sometime together with those people at Stedo or like at home, and I find it's really fun to, I don't know, like that style of potluck or like.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring food together and eat together. And I thought it would be nice to just eat and watch and eat and watch at this pace.
So we have films then from Hannah Hildebrand, Adrian Connelly, Ed Pomdung, Donk, Becca Barker, Karin Böttner, CB Sein, Amy Umeda.
This is. That's my name.
I meant now he has food.
Yeah, empanadas.
Lina Henke, Michael Eddy. So, are they all presenting videos? Tamara Henderson, Sushai Yoshida, Timmy Williams, and more?
Some people are
cooking, and
some people are video artists.
Okay.
And I organized this video screening because some of my friends from Canada, they have really good art video, and I wanted to show it here.
Yeah.
So I asked them. That's Adrian Connolly and Becca Barker and Anna Jicklin.
Yeah.
And they are Canadian artists, and they send me videos.
They sent you the videos. They are not at the Stedel School right now.
They graduated from maybe not Scotland. Yeah, from Scotia.
Yeah.
I mean the school in Halifax.
All right.
And yeah. But also, I made a call for submission in a Stedo school for the student to have an opportunity to show their old works or new works in the space. Because this space could be like really easy to access
from everywhere.
If you're not art student or somehow not art oriented, but you can just stop by and watch. I thought.
Yeah, that's right. And you told me it's interesting for you as an anthropologist. maybe you are not observing the artists, but it could be very important. And in sociology, we call this a working relation or Arbeitsbündnis. It can have a special function in how you are conducting an interview. But interesting is that you said it's important for you to become friends. Could this be in a strategy, maybe for you as an artist or as an anthropologist?
I think it's strategy for anthropologist.
Becoming
or
friends.
Maybe you like when you are researching people, like it's so close, but can you do that? Like, can you research on family or something? Like your own family?
Yeah, they are family sociologists. They are going into the families and they stay as
your own family.
My own family.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, but
because it's like that for me. If I make
but
a target
graphical analysis, so. I could ask you now a question, but won't have enough time. But we can start like an ongoing conversation about your life. Maybe I ask you, could you tell me your how you grew up?
My life?
Yeah, please.
Do it. You do it.
She's talking to you.
Could you tell me?
Knows her.
Could you tell me your life story, please? I won't tell it to anybody else.
Yeah. Great.
How would you start? Please, you can start wherever you want.
Wherever
you want, but it would be great if you would tell me your life story.
My life. Wow. I was born in Japan.
When?
70.
I'm sorry I interrupt you. This is a mistake.
No, it's okay.
Maybe it is a mistake.
Yeah. I missed some data. Yeah. But okay, you please, if you like to start again.
I was born in Japan, 79, and grown up until maybe 20. I was in Japan.
Yeah.
The place called Hokkaido, which is the northern island.
Yeah.
And then I was in my hometown called Kitami until graduating high school, and then moved to Sapporo, which is bigger city, and I spent 2 years, and then moved to Halifax,
yeah,
Canada, Nova Scotia, and spent there for 4 years and study anthropology, and meeting all the people, and then
yeah.
Last year I went home, but
yeah. But normally I would ask, could you remember the time when you started to think about art? Could you remember the time?
Starting is actually when I never really think about those things in Japan, because it's somehow different. It's they're more focusing on traditional art, I thought, or from how I understood when I was in high school or when I was encountering those stuff. So I never really into art practice, and but when I went to Halifax, was completely different. It's like everyone doing whatever they want, and it's more like creative, and it's okay to be a creative and free, like do whatever you want, and it was really interesting for me.
Yeah.
So I was really, yeah. I think when I was in Halifax, I start finding something art-related stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and in philosophy, we have this question always. It's always about love. We try to or a lot of philosophers try to explain what is love and what the personal relations or the social ontology for this, something which we cannot explain. And maybe it would be some idea if how artists act together in communities, that they are becoming friends. This could be a very good example for how a society is organized and how you act as artists. But that would be really another question, because we are running a little bit out of time. But you as a group, Ms. Hannah, you came to Carbon, to this exhibition space by bike and a tour, and you saw this exhibition from Rachrau Omassad. And tonight there's this lecture from Rachrau, and tomorrow we are again on the way to that place, Carbon. But you will start tomorrow at 2 o'clock your video cafe.
Yeah.
And in Stolzerstraße. So how can we contact you? Is there a webpage? No, there is Freunde am Main e.V. I think they have a webpage. But everybody who wants to join it, it's in Stolzerstraße number 11. This is very close to the radio. Here, to the radio station, yeah. So you are drawing. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm doodling.
Doodling.
That's what we call doodling.
All right.
Obsessive compulsive line making, done in semi conscious attention states.
Yeah. And why did this happen to you during we were talking?
Because busy hands make clever minds.
That's right. So this is why artists are these protagonists of in a society, because they have busy hands and they are very productive and civilized. Okay, yeah, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you.
It was only a very short example of what you are doing, but I hope this is ongoing. And am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Felicia Herrschaft und Michael Eddy and
Emmy
Uemura.
Could you play another Bollywood song?
Yeah, I will do that now. Yeah, thanks for this Bollywood stuff we got today. Thank you very much. Bye.